church discipline. Church discipline. And what he means is removing someone from the body in order that they may soon later be restored. Not just to remove them to remove them. But God always seeks restoration, is my point. And that's what he was doing with Nebuchadnezzar. But following God means sacrifice for each of us. And when we lose our trust in God, we can expect him to realign us. And the king, unfortunately, faced this multiple times. And we too often face this multiple times. But are we trusting in God alone? You see, this is a constant battle in the king's mind. Who is it that really did all this? The king thinks. Must have been me. The king has now been told that he would be cursed, he would be removed, and he would walk as an animal. And Daniel had confirmed this to the king, and yet the king still couldn't listen. As all things with God, they come to fruition. So if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word today. Daniel chapter 4, starting in verse 28, reading through verse 33. God's Word says, "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of thy power and for the honor of my majesty?' While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will.' The same hour was the things fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws." Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you today, very simply, would you hide me behind your word, hide me behind the cross. God, today would your words bring power. God, today would our hearts be open. And God, I pray it would bring conviction, it would bring joy, and it would bring truth to the hearts of all present. And I say these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Imagine this. The king goes to the rooftop of his palace. Basically, it's a place where he could see the entire kingdom. So he goes to this rooftop, looking out, and he had already been told by Daniel that what was about to take place was going to come to fruition. And the Bible tells us he goes up to the top of the palace and he begins to say these words. He says, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" A lot of my's in there, isn't there, friends? Me and I and my. But then it happens, no more than the words leave his mouth. God comes present and says, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee quit is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will." So Scripture says pretty clearly here, the same hour the king was driven out of Babylon. When we are faced in our life with sin, because it happens, and trials, because they happen, do we weigh those things against the Word of God? You see, we learn from Scripture a few qualities of the king. First, the king is extremely prideful. Second, he almost always fails to trust God more than he trusts himself. He thinks, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I've got it figured out. I don't need the king. I don't need God. I'm the king." He consistently forgets his personal history. That's a problem. Time and time again, he sees that God warned him, "Don't do this or this will happen." What's he do? He never learns from it. He continues on. So Nebuchadnezzar's encounter with the Most High's judgment really is as though this story that I'm about to read you, some of you may have heard of this man, I don't know, but former heavyweight boxer James Tillis. Now, all of us are from Southwest Virginia, and we're just a bunch of country folk, as people would say. James Tillis was kind of like that. He was a cowboy, not a country folk, but he was a cowboy from Oklahoma. He wasn't used to the big city. I don't know about some of you, but I don't like going to the big city. I don't enjoy it. Not my thing. And James Tillis, he went to fight out of Chicago in the early 1980s. And he told this story after he went, about his first day in Chicago. He said, "I got off the bus with two cardboard suitcases under my arms in downtown Chicago. I stopped at the Sears Tower. I put my suitcase down, and I looked up at the tower, and I said to myself, I'm going to conquer Chicago." He said, "When I looked down, the suitcases were gone." That's pretty much it. That would be my experience, too, if I were to go to somewhere like that. But you see, he had this mentality, kind of like Nebuchadnezzar had. I'm going to take it over. I got it all figured out. I can do this. There's a lot of eyes in that. Have you ever considered that perhaps we think oftentimes that we're a lot more than we really are? Perhaps many of us actually have pretty skewed mentalities about ourselves, and we're more concerned with the credit than we are God Himself. But let's be specific. I like being specific. It hurts sometimes, but it's the truth. Specific as this, perhaps us Baptists, perhaps even us at Green Valley, sometimes we forget who built all this. And what I mean is, as I walk the halls of this church every day, I hear from all of you and others as well, the magnificent stories of this wonderful church. And I hear of God's guidance in the building of this church and in the building of the people of this church, both physically and as just a people of God. But could it be at times that we perhaps, like Nebuchadnezzar, have lost our vision? We perhaps at times both forget what God has done for us and become too prideful in ourselves. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, some of us do that. We look out and we say, look what I've built. Even look what we have built. Friends, we didn't build anything. God built it. I cannot answer those questions. Only you can answer those questions in your heart. But I know this. Nebuchadnezzar gave the credit to the wrong man. He gave it to him. And it didn't work out. Cursed to the field as the oxen was Nebuchadnezzar because he gave the credit to himself. Crediting himself instead of crediting God, and by doing this he fell to the trap of the devil. Brothers and sisters, the one similarity that I know for a fact all of us have with Nebuchadnezzar is that we are all human and we are all susceptible to sin just as he was. In fact, all of us pretty clearly know that we're sinners, I hope. Because if we don't know that truth, we can't know God. But knowing that truth, we all become susceptible to, yes, even the temptation of pride, as he did. But friends, is it time for us at Green Valley Baptist Church to be awoken from such a temptation? To not be so prideful about ourselves? Friends, is it time for us to stop falling into the devil's trap? We better be looking for those traps because he's placing them. All throughout our church, all throughout our community, and all throughout our world, he is placing traps. He's trying to convince God's people that they did it all on their own. They didn't need God. How dangerous. See, it's time for us to get our hands out of it and put God's hands back on it. A major theme throughout the entire book of Daniel, if you go and read the book of Daniel, and a major theme for us today has to be this. We must rely on our history to shape our future. Any good history teacher like Coach Johnson would know you must rely on your history to change your future. And if he disagrees with me, he can tell you later. But that doesn't mean go back to the old history. That doesn't mean go back to what we've always done. No, that means be shaped by what we've always done. That means we learn from our mistakes. That means we learn from our shortcomings. That means when the devil set traps, we pay attention to what traps the devil set, because guess what? He's probably going to set them again. You would never find a fur trapper going out to catch fur that found a successful trap and didn't set the trap back. Why? Because he wants to catch more fur. The devil's the same way. He wants to set the trap back, especially if it's successful, because he wants to get us again. The truth about our history is this. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but Philippians 3:14 simply says this: press on. Go forward. Don't look backwards. We need to go forward. Our prayer should simply be, God, don't let us go backwards. Let us learn from our past. Let us move to our future. And this was one of Nebuchadnezzar's biggest struggles. He was a prideful man. He looked at his kingdom and he saw all that he had done. And because of this, we know he was cast off to the field as the oxen. But what about you today? What about me today? Are we guilty of this same trap? Do we look out and say, look what I've done? Even look what this church has done. Friends, this church really has done nothing. God has done it all. But if we look out and we think about all we've done, man, we're missing the mark. But Nebuchadnezzar was a prideful man. He considered this massive kingdom of Babylon. As he looked out, what more could it be than a reward for him? I've done all this. I deserve a reward. Now, no one here is going to admit to this, but how many of us at times become guilty of thinking, I've done this, so I deserve that? Because X, Y, and Z took place and I was faithful there, then God should bless me here. But friends, that's not always how God works. God's blessings aren't on our timing, and they're not how we want it. They're how He sees fit to give them. And God's blessing was not for Nebuchadnezzar to have all of Babylon. But pride took over. And prideful, even upon knowing that he had heard that his rule was going to be taken. Imagine this. Some of us are like this. Some of us, Nebuchadnezzar had this mentality. He said, because I have built this kingdom, and I have put it up here, and it's a good kingdom, right? I've done all this. Then God should reward me. God should bless me, even though Nebuchadnezzar was warned clearly. He was warned by Daniel in just the previous scripture. If you go back and read, he was warned what was about to take place. You are going to lose it. God will take it from you. And he done it anyway. And let's go back even farther. Three times Nebuchadnezzar was warned about something, and it came to fruition. But he didn't learn from his past. Some of us do that. We fall trapped to a sin. Then we say, we'll never do that again. And then the devil comes back with the same old trap. And we fall into the same old sin. And then we do it over and over. The devil comes back with the same old trap. We fall into the same old sin. Same old trap, same old sin. Same old trap, same old sin. Over, 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 repeat. We never learn. Some of us are like that in our personal life. Some of us are like that in the life of our church. But we never learn. Same old sin, same old trap, same old action. But he was warned, and he continued on. But the thing about God is this, He will break the man in order to restore the man, and He will break our church if need be at any point to restore our church. Whatever means it is necessary to get the attention of the believer, God will do it. So the dream that had been interpreted by Daniel to mean that Nebuchadnezzar would lose his rule came to fruition because Nebuchadnezzar didn't learn. Nothing that Nebuchadnezzar has done could help him now. Scripture had been fulfilled. His rule had been removed. He had been ran off to the oxen of the field. So how can we apply this to our lives today? And how can we apply it to the life of our church today? You see, we all have been cursed with an Adam sin nature. We know that. We've already talked about that. We're all sinners. And just like Nebuchadnezzar, we're full of mankind's pride. We're full of mankind's lusts. We're full of mankind's desires and deceits. And just as Nebuchadnezzar, we often struggle and we often fall back into the same old trap. But brothers and sisters, there's power in calling out sin. So in that power today, I hope that perhaps your heart will skip a beat as I call out some sins before us today. You see, I told the Bible study group this Wednesday morning, we all have a key mark sin. And what I mean is, we all have a sin the devil keeps using, we keep going back to. So let's list some sins. Maybe your key mark sin's in it, maybe it's not. But if it is, I hope your heart skips a beat when you hear it. Lust, pride, hatred, envy, deceit. Maybe we're a liar. Perhaps we're drunkards. We drink more than we should, even casually. Friends, maybe we fall the sin of greed. Maybe we're a divider in our church. And what I mean is, we create division. Our goal, whether we realize it or not, is to create division. But maybe our sin is fearfulness, filthiness, or foolishness. Perhaps our sin is slander, strife, or swearing. But whatever our key mark sin is, the devil's going to use it. And perhaps it's even the taking the cup of communion unworthily, as we're about to take this cup here in a few minutes. But church, don't you see the issue really is not if we're going to sin, it's when we're going to sin, and it's if we're going to learn from it. We know we're going to sin. We're sinners by nature. But are we going to learn? The second issue at hand isn't if we're simply going to sin and if we're simply going to learn. But are we going to let the devil's traps continue to play a part of our life? Or are we going to look for them? Like Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to continue to fall prey to the devil's traps if we do not learn from our past. Even upon having an intimate encounter with God on multiple occasions, Nebuchadnezzar still couldn't seem to get to a place where he completely and totally trusted God more than he trusted himself. He encountered God, but even in encounters with God, for a season he would listen, and then he would move on, back to the same old ways. Perhaps some of you have been guilty of that in your sin lives, I don't know. You feel conviction fall upon your heart upon a sin. You perhaps leave that sin for a season, only for a little time to pass and the devil to reset the trap and you to be snared up in it again. Like Nebuchadnezzar, you don't learn. But you've had encounters. You've had opportunities to learn. You've had intimate opportunities to learn with God as He convicted your heart, as the Spirit convicted your heart. But we learned that Nebuchadnezzar, he respected God. He looked at Daniel's God and he said, Daniel's God is a strong God. Daniel's God is a powerful God. He is a good God. But you know what he never could look at Daniel's God and say? He never could look at Daniel's God and say, but he's better than me. He thought he had it under control. And finally, after multiple attempts to show himself to the king, God did something that would shake the king. I don't know if some of you have heard this phrase, sometimes God will shake us. That's what God did to Nebuchadnezzar. He took his kingship, he cursed him as the oxen. Now we know there was later a restoration. But what we also know is the history of the king. It took a long time for him to learn his lesson. Because God tried to show him, and he always turned back. So this morning, we really have a unique opportunity. We have one that Nebuchadnezzar himself didn't even have. Because we get to learn from his mistakes. We get to look at the king's failures and learn. First, we know that he was a troubled man by a dream. And when no one else could interpret it, God gave Daniel the ability to interpret. Second, we know that God delivered Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, or as you know, if you've not recognized those names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, from the furnace. And what happened? The king witnessed it. He saw it. And lastly, a second dream in which no one could interpret, yet Daniel still could. And in all three of these situations, we find that God made an attempt to get the king's attention. He tried. Yet all three times, the king didn't listen. And friends, I may not know a lot, but I know this. God will not bless sin in our church, and God will not bless sin in our personal lives. And if we're not willing to seek true repentance, true forgiveness for the sins we commit, we will never see what God can really do. Meaning, let me tell you how much, let's just be honest. We all commit sins. We've all committed sins this week. Did you bring unrepented sins into God's house this morning? Because God doesn't bless sin. So I hope you didn't bring unrepentant sin into this house. I hope if you fell to the devil's trap this week, you repented of it. God doesn't bless that. How is God to bless our church if we bring sin into his house? How is God to bless our life if we carry sin on us and never ask for forgiveness? We never return from those sins. We never learn from our lesson. He's not going to bless us or the place we worship because we don't learn. But until we seek true forgiveness, we're never going to know what he could really do. So today, I pray you wouldn't sit in a pew and allow the devil to set another trap. I pray that you wouldn't allow him to convince you of your innocence. The devil likes to do that. First, he convinces us to sin, and then after we sin, he convinces us as to why what we did really wasn't wrong. It's called justification, right? We try to justify it. But we don't have any grounds to justify it because we don't have repentance. So today, I pray you wouldn't sit and allow the devil to set that trap. In Green Valley, today perhaps needs to be the day that we remove our hands and seek God's forgiveness. On our personal lives and anything else that's taken place here. For the sins of our past, instead of just sitting back and waiting and hoping the Spirit shows up while we sit here with sin in the church house, God's not going to bless that. But what can the Spirit do? We are not going to listen. He'll bring conviction. But if friends, we do have free will. And if we're not willing to listen, maybe eventually God will have to shake us. I don't know. But are we willing to do that today? Are we willing to come with any unrepentant sin that we have? Because my guess is God may reveal them to you. You may have some. And are we willing to seek his forgiveness on us before you partake in this communion? Are we willing to come with any unrepentant sin that may be on our lives? Because we know we should not bring unrepentant sin to the house. We certainly should not partake in communion with unrepentant sin. And friends, today is the day that we must remove the devil's traps from our life. The king's pride stood in his way. What stands in yours? Maybe it's pride like him. Maybe it's one of the other things I named. Maybe when you leave this place, you can't help but to tell little lies. Maybe when you leave this place, you can't help but, like I said, to divide in your family, in your church, wherever. maybe when you leave this place, you can't help but follow in lust or follow in adultery or follow in greed. You can't help but envy. But whatever your sin is, before you partake in this cup today, before we leave this place today, let's allow God to pierce our hearts, allow the Spirit to pierce our hearts. Reveal those sins to us as He revealed those sins to Nebuchadnezzar, and let's repent of those sins today. Would you bow with me? Father, as we come before You once again, God, we pray today that unrepentant hearts would not leave this place. God, we pray that unrepentant hearts would not neglect and partake in the cup of communion with dirty hearts. God, we pray that Your Spirit would break our heart for You, that You would reveal Yourself to us, that You would reveal those sins to us, those key mark sins, such as the king had of pride. Reveal them to us, that we may repent of them today. And as Brother James comes in just a moment, God, would Your Spirit move in this place? And we say these things in Your name. Amen.